Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Mfundisi Maphosa, kunjani?
Ngiyaphila Zama, kunjani?
Siyaphila nathi. We can't complain. We are glad that the Sabbath is literally almost upon us. I hope that your day's been good.
It's been good. I can't complain, and I can't wait to be in the Sabbath so that we get rest from all the hustles and the bustles of
this earth. Oh, yes, indeed. Oh, yes, indeed. Now we are talking about Christ's second coming, and it will be the triumphant return of a king, as it were. It is the blessed hope of those who are waiting for the return of the Messiah, the Adventists, as it were, that Christ's future return will be a climax of our story here on earth. And today's lesson will then help us to understand the connection between the second coming and the SDA Church. So please share how the truth of the second coming helped shape the Adventist denomination.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I greet you all, our listeners, as we continue with the belief of the second coming.
Yeah.
So what we will realize is that this world is not what God intended it to be.
Mm.
In a state in which God did not intend it to be, whereby in a state whereby there is death, whereby the plants are dying, whereby there are thorns, issues, whereby there is sickness, whereby there is climate change, each and everything, droughts and all. This is not what God intended this world to be. And also when we read from the Bible, we realize that Christ's return will be the end of this world as we know it. So God seeks to restore this world to its original beauty, to his original intention and the original plan. So Jesus' return is going to be the end of this world as we know it.
It's
a step in restoring this world into the perfect world that it was always meant to be. And therefore, you realize that the Advent movement began because of hope in Christ's return. Because of the hope in the coming of Christ, we got to have the Advent movement. We got to have the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Because the Seventh-day Adventist Church rests its hope in Christ alone, in his promises, and also his what? And also his return. You know, when you go to Titus chapter 13, Titus chapter 2 verse 13, I'm sorry. When Paul is speaking about the coming of Christ, he refers to the coming of Christ as the blessed hope, as the blessed hope. So what it simply means is that this world as it is offers some other kinds of hope, but the hopes offered by this world are not blessed because they are not sure. So when Paul is writing about this blessed hope, he is writing about a sure hope. He is writing about, you know, something that is definitely going to happen. That is why he refers to the coming of Christ as the blessed hope. And so, because man is in a sin predicament. Man is in a sin predicament. And man is always looking for something or someone who can provide the solution. So the Adventist pioneers, as they were searching through the Bible, as they were also looking for a solution to the predicament in which man found himself, to the predicament in which this world found itself, they found the hope to be lying only in Christ and his return. So in other words, without Christ and his return, we are therefore just but hopeless. We are just but hopeless.
So
the coming is not just hope for the Adventists, but it is hope for all Christians. We have this hope because it is Jesus himself who promises his return. It is Jesus who promises his return. In John chapter 14, he promises that he is going to prepare a place and that he will come and take us so that where he is, there we also may be. In Revelation promises and says, behold, I come quickly. That is chapter 22. I come quickly and I have my reward with me. He promises that he is coming. In Acts, he promises that I'm coming back. And even the angels themselves, they say to the disciples, do not be troubled. That is in Acts chapter 1. The same Jesus whom you have seen going up by the clouds will return also in the same manner to take you so that you may be with him. So the hope of the second coming, the second advent, is not just hope for Adventists, but it is hope for all Christians.
Yeah.
So when we take away the second coming, when we take away the second advent, then Christians have no hope. Christians have no hope. So this is the hope that has helped to shape the Adventist church, to bring it brought hope and brought the people with the same hope together.
Yeah.
And that is how we got to have this belief, and having this same hope and having the same thing that we are looking forward to. So as you said earlier, that it is promised in the Bible, and it will be the infant return of a king. Therefore, it is the blessed hope of Adventists that Christ's future return will be the climax of this story. You know, it is not just the end. It is not that just the end. But now it becomes the beginning of how life was meant to be all along. Because remember, we said God did not intend for this world to be like this. He did not intend our nature to be like this. So we hope. We have this wish, we have this longing of living a life without sickness, of living a life without any wants. We have this hope of living a life without any death, of living a life eternal, of living a life whereby we are learning on each and every day at God's feet, whereby we are interacting with nature unreservedly and without any fear of being harmed or injured by nature. This is something that we are longing for. Therefore, as Christ's coming is the climax to our story on earth, it is not the end, but the beginning of how life was meant to be all along. This is when we will start to experience how life was meant to be. This is how we will experience life, just as how God planned it to be.
Yeah, yeah.
With Christ's coming, our existence will be perfect and it will be complete. Right now, we are incomplete. Right now, we are not perfect. We are just but imperfect beings. But Christ's return will perfect us. Christ's return will, because he is going to give us bodies that are immortal. He's going to give us life eternal. So this is the hope that we live by. This is the hope that gets the Adventists going. This is the hope that helped to shape the Adventist church.
Yep,
this
yep.
is the hope. And every Christian has and holds on to. Because without this hope, every Christian is shattered. Mm. They have nothing to look for.
Yeah, true. Now, Pastor, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still there.
Yeah, thank you so much, Pastor. Now, how can we then prepare? I mean, we've got this blessed hope. We've got this promise that is given to us. How do we then prepare for the second coming?
Okay. So when we go to the Bible, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Mm.
And then chapter 6, verse 23 of Romans says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Mm.
So we are supposed to die because we are sinners. But then the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And then we go to John chapter 3, verse 16. How do we get this gift of God, which is eternal life? We go to John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes, should not perish.
Yeah, but have eternal life.
So for us to get the gift of God, which is eternal life, we need to believe in Christ. We need to believe in Christ. We need to accept him as Lord and Savior. We need to take him as our personal Savior. We need to believe in him. That is how we can prepare for the second coming. He even says to the disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. Mm. That is John chapter 1. You believe in God and also believe in me. Mm. So we need to believe in Christ. That is the first step that we need to take, which is to believe in Christ. We need to believe in Christ. And as we believe in Christ, we need to develop a relationship with Christ. We need to develop a relationship with Christ. And when we develop a relationship with Christ, how do we develop the relationship with Christ?
Mm.
We are praying on each and every day. We are praying for ourselves. We are praying for each other. We are praying as families. We are praying in the name of Jesus, who intervenes for us in heaven. We are developing this relationship, communicating with him on each and every day.
Yep.
We study the Bible. As we study the Bible, we are learning on each and every day how he wants us to live, what he would us to do, so that we, through the strength that he gives us, we can do that which he bids us to do, so that through the strength that he gives us, we can do that which we are supposed to do, so that with the strength that he gives us, we can be sanctified and become like Christ and have a character that is like the character of Christ. And at the end, you know, when we allow Christ to come and live within us, because, you know, in Romans, he says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock, and whosoever opens, I will come in and dine with him and him dining with me. So Christ wants to come and live within our hearts. He wants to come and direct our lives, to give us the strength to overcome. To overcome sin, to give us the strength to do that which God wants, to live according to it, thus saith the Lord. So Christ says, allow me to live within your heart, so that at the end of the day, we can, at the same time with Paul, say, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And when we allow Christ to live in us and allow ourselves to die to self, then he can start shaping the character that is like his character. And then we can be ready for his second coming. And then because of his grace and because of his mercy, he will strengthen us. Mm. He will give us the strength.
Mm.
It's not easy to godly life. It's not easy to deny ungodliness. But because of his grace and because of our willingness and because of our faith in him, Christ can strengthen us. That is why Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can overcome sin through Christ who strengthens us. We can be ready for his second coming through Christ who strengthens us. We can be ready for heaven and have characters that are like the character of Christ through him who gives us strength.
Beautiful, through him that gives us strength. Is there a way then that we can know that we are definitely and for sure ready for his coming?
The only way to know is by believing in Christ, accepting him as Lord and Savior. Because this is the process. This is the process. This is the process. The first thing, you know, when we come to confess our sins, John says he is faithful and just to forgive us. And when he forgives us, he has justified us. He has justified us because we have confessed our sins. That is the first one. That is the first step. We have been forgiven. We are no longer to be condemned. And then the next step is that after being forgiven, there is the process of sanctification, which is the process that happens on each and every day, whereby we are allowing Christ to work in us. We are studying the Bible. We are striving to become better people. We are changing from the worldly things. We are changing from the previous lives. Because remember, Christ also says to Nicodemus, how can one inherit the kingdom of heaven? And then Christ says, unless a man be born again of the water and of the spirit, they cannot inherit the kingdom of who? The kingdom of God. So at baptism, it is a symbol of dying with Christ, while we are dying to our sins. And as we are dying to our sins, we are resurrecting in a new life with Christ. And therefore, when we then get to a point whereby we realize that we have left our old ways, we have managed through Christ who gave us strength to do away with the olden ways and to leave behind a life of sin. And through Christ, we have managed to live a sinless life. And when we fall down, we are still rising and not remaining in sin. Then we can be sure that through faith and through the belief that because Christ who promised that he is going to forgive us and to sanctify and make and sanctify us and make sure that we get to heaven, we are sure that we will go to heaven as long as we allow Christ to live within our hearts and do according to it, thus saith the Lord.
Beautiful stuff, Pastor Yo. Thank you so much, man. It's been a fantastic one. Lovely, lovely conversations we've had with you throughout the week. I thank you so much for coming through. I thank you that you have really called us to focus and refocus to our very foundations, you know, as Christians and as, especially as Adventists. May God be with you and may God bless you and may God shine his countenance upon you. And not only should you preach this word, but also be ready for his coming until we meet again. And if we don't meet in this world, let us meet on the world to come.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Zama. May God bless you too. May God bless all our listeners. Thank you so much. Have a happy Sabbath.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.